for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday afternoon, December 31st, 1977. Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Midwinter Camp Meeting, being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, Hot Springs, Arkansas. John Boney, the speaker of the afternoon.
These have indeed been days of refreshing. The scriptures speak of times of refreshing that shall come from the presence of the Lord. And to my heart, these have been days of such refreshing. A time when you could come and feel your spirit endued once again. Yes, with fresh power from the throne of God. The sad part is always that you have to go home. And you say, well, Lord, why couldn't we live here all year round? Why couldn't we stay here? Why couldn't it be like this all the time? Well, let me ask you, could it be like this all the time? Could it? Huh? Why not? Okay, we can't keep yet to go out of it. But could you maintain the sense of the presence of God that you have had here the past few days with you when you go home? Could there be that same unction, that same walking in the presence of God? A brother shook his head. He said, no, I can't. I think yes. You see, there is something as cultivating the practice of God's presence. And I think it's something that God wants us to realize. It can be part of our daily experience so that we can cultivate the presence of God, so that we don't just have to have a spiritual high in a meeting such as this, but that even after, when we go back home and we settle down to the day-to-day living, God can still have the freedom to walk and talk with us. And folks, may I ask you to give God the same freedom with you that you take with Him. If you exercise the freedom to talk to God at any time you feel like it, give God the same freedom to talk to you anytime He feels like it, knowing that your ear will be open to hear what God would have to say to you. And I see that is precisely what God wants us to do, to develop a spiritual ear that is continually open to Him so that we can hear when He speaks. Turn with me to Isaiah 52. I think that's the one I want. Sorry, Isaiah 50. Isaiah 50, and I want to read to you verses 4 and 5. The Lord hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth my ear to hear as the learned. Excuse me. The Lord hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away backward. Before you can speak a word, a fit word to someone, your ear has to be open to hear. This is what the word of God says. Morning by morning, He wakens mine ear to hear. You know, I cultivated a practice some years ago that I'd always go to bed praying in the Spirit. You know, just lie in bed and pray in the Spirit. My wife used to tell me sometime during the night, I'm sound asleep and I'm praying in the Spirit. Well, I believe what she says. But I cultivated that practice. And you know, it did something for me. Because I'd be awakened in the morning, and as soon as I'm awake, had become cognizant of the fact that God was speaking to me. He wakened my name morning by morning to hear. And as he wakened my name, I was not rebellious. But I heard what he had to say. And I spoke as he commanded me. Cultivate the practice of hearing from God. Letting God awaken your ear. And take back with you the thought, the understanding. The Holy Spirit is still speaking in this day. He is still speaking in this day. I dare say to you, he's speaking in this day in a greater way than he has ever spoken before. And the watchword is, he that hath an ear, let him hear. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the church. In other words, you must hear daily as he wakens your ear to hear. Then you'd have a word to speak to others. In Revelation chapter 2, and then the first 7 verses, and there was a message directed. Well, all of Revelation chapters 2 and 3 were the messages directed to the 7 churches, the message showing them where they failed and how they would be overcomers. That is a word that the Holy Spirit is speaking in these days too. Overcomers. You're either an undergoer or an overcomer. But that is a word the Holy Spirit is speaking. Being overcomers. The word of God said, be not overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. And I pray that the Holy Spirit will drop a seed in your heart this afternoon to cause you to know and to understand that God in his grace has made every provision that every born-again, spiritual child of God can be an overcomer. And we praise God for the deliverances that we saw here this week, because that's one of the means that God uses towards that end of causing us to be overcomers. And I want to encourage you to aim for the ultimate. Don't settle for anything less than the very best. You'll be shortchanging yourself. If God says you can be an overcomer, then you can be. Because God does not command where he does not provide. If God has commanded, he has made provision for you to fulfill that command. And as you recognize the provision that he has made for you to fulfill that command, he works in you the fulfillment of that command. Philippians 2, 12 and 13. The end of verse 12. It speaks there about working out your own salvation with fear and trembling. Verse 13. For it is God who works within you, both to will and to do, according to his own will. And where God commands, he provides. Folks, don't ever think that the standards God has called for in his people, they're beyond you. Because when you think that, you're defeating yourself. True, the calling of God is a high and a holy calling. But it must needs be, of necessity it must be, the word that the Holy Spirit is sounding out in these days is for people who walk the highway of holiness. It must be for an overcoming people. The last day of 7 to 7, and very soon you'll be in a new year. And I don't know how many more years we have. I don't know how much time it's going to be before the purpose of God is accomplished in this earth. I don't know. But I know, as I said the other day, God is indeed quickening the pace. And God is working, and He's working, and He's working to bring forth a people who are tried and tested and found true. A people who have gone through the fire and have come forth purified as gold. All the dross, all the tinsel, all the wood, all of it is burned out. And they come forth as overcomers, clad in white and in His holiness. Now I speak all of that because in the midst of this, precisely because of the time that we are in, particularly because of the time that we are in, there is a characteristic of this age, and it's marked by the word apostasy. And the word apostasy means to begin to stand away from, or to fall away from. Now, look at me in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Verse 3. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come, except there come a falling away first. That man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition. Now that day that we are looking for is not going to come, except there be a falling away. Now some of you this week, a bit shaken, but yet, God has brought you to a place where you have begun to stand in something. You have begun to walk in victory in certain areas of your life. Now that will be tested. And therein, you must stand. Because there is going to be a falling away. Some will begin to walk a path that in which they once stood. All of the scripture speaks about this falling away that shall come. Many men will despise the faith that they once held. Many men will turn their backs upon the word of God. And you can call to the remembrance of this time many living examples of it happening all around you. Call names of outstanding persons who have fallen away. And we speak this afternoon not to scare you, but to forewarn you and to forearm you, so that having done all to stand, you may stand against the wiles of the enemy. Having done all to stand, Ephesians 6:13, stand. Having gone through deliverance, being made able to stand upon your feet, now continue to stand. In Matthew chapter 24, in verse 12 and 13. And because iniquity or lawlessness shall abound, the love of many will wax cold. But he that shall endure unto the end, the same shall be saved. Now the cause of many people waxing cold spiritually is lawlessness, independence, going after their own ways. And that lawlessness leads them into a place where they wax cold spiritually. But the word of God says, it brings to us a message of endurance. This is not the time for giving up. It's time for going on and for being strong. This is not the time to retire. If you ever feel you want to retire spiritually, you need to refire. This is not the time for quitting. It's time for pulling out all the stops. It's time for loading up all the guns and moving forward with the plan and with the purpose of God. And I think greatest safeguards against apostasy is moving forward. It's the greatest safeguard. As I said to you the other day, for heaven's sake, not so much for heaven's sake, but for your sake, don't camp where you are. Pass there. Turn with me to 2 chapter 1, verse 3. According as his divine power hath given unto us all things that pertain unto life and godliness through the knowledge of him that hath called glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of the divine nature. Folks, do you know what nature you are partaking of? It's the divine nature, the nature of God. But by these exceeding great and precious promises, ye might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. Besides us giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. There is faith, but add to faith virtue. Now the word virtue is a word that could be translated excellence. To your faith, add spiritual excellence. I hear many, many parents encouraging their young people to excel in academics in school. Now that same thing that you're encouraging your kids to excel in school, I want you to excel in it spiritually. Spiritual excellence. Do you believe that you can excel spiritually? That's what God asks for. That you excel. Add to your faith even a desire for spiritual excellence. And to this add knowledge, temperance, God, patience, godliness, brotherly kindness. And notice verse 8 there. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let me tell you this. You and I, we are supposed to grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Paul says, oh, that I may know him. Just keep your finger here and look with me in Romans chapter 1. Let me show you something. Romans chapter 1 is another chapter that speaks about apostasy. 21, because when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were thankful, but became vain. Their foolish heart was darkened. Now the Greek word that's used there is the word gnosko. It's to know by experience. And these men, by experience, they knew God. But even in that experiential knowledge of God, they glorified him not as God. It says they did not like to retain God in their knowledge. God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient. And here the Greek word that's used for knowledge is epignosis. And really what the Greek says is that they did not want to come into a full knowledge of God. You see, they knew God by experience. But they did not want to come into a greater knowledge of God. And so God gave them up to a reprobate mind. And part of the road to apostasy is precisely this. Having an experiential knowledge of God. And not desiring to come into a full knowledge of God. Folks, there is more. Amen? There is more.
There is more. There is more.
Back in 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 8, where these things be new and abound, they make you that you shall neither be unfruitful, that you shall neither be barren or unfruitful in the Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and has forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, what does it say? If you do these things, ye shall never fall. Here is God's eternal security plan. If ye do these things, ye shall never fall. And I like what verse 11 says. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And this is not talking about going to heaven again. But in these things, as you do them, they'll come unto you. What is it? What are the three things? Romans chapter 14. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but it is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. You have an abundant entrance ministered unto you into that everlasting kingdom. See, Brother Ferris is making his notes there, getting ready to come right after me, I guess.
I put down the things that have to be.
Amen.
I let go of God's word. In the great kingdom.
Esti, that's faith. Aretem, excellence. Of sexes.
Makes a man manly and a woman womanly.
All right. No sin. Investigation of truth.
Ekranatim.
Truths that are learned and put into action. I like this.
Upomone.
Ability to endure without murmuring. Amen.
Amen. They call it patience.
But let patience, I like the verse it says, but let patience have a perfect work, that he may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. In other words, when patience is perfected in you, you're going to have what you are so anxious to get all the while. Amen?
Amen.
Then you should be on. You should be on. Manifested piety. Philadelphian, love all the brethren. And then agape, love that gives God the preeminence in all things. Praise the Lord. Hebrews chapter 3. And in Hebrews chapter 3 here, you notice the road to apostasy marked out quite clearly. And I've taught on this chapter many times. And the one thing that I saw in it so very clearly, it's the sin of procrastination. God kept on saying to them, today if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. As most of us, we heard his voice today, and we said tomorrow. But in this chapter here, folks heard God's voice and tempted him continually. They proved them that they saw his words 40 years. Folks, I feel very definitely in my heart that God kept those folks 40 years in the wilderness, giving them space to repent. I don't think God just took them on a trip, just to take them on a trip. But instead, they continued to rebel against God. And so in verse 10, God said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways. They shall not enter into my rest. Verse 12, take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Now, would you please underline verse 14? For we are made partakers of Christ if. And when God says if, that's a condition. The thing we want to be made partakers of, we are made partakers of Him if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast until the end. Don't you ignore God's if clauses. They're all throughout the Word. You see, there are many people who try to receive the promises, the provisions, without fulfilling the conditions. And it doesn't work. You could confess till your face is blue. If you don't fulfill the conditions, you don't get the provision. So they did not enter in because of unbelief. Now, do you really believe that God is doing a work in this day? Do you honestly and truly believe that God is doing a work in your heart and in your life, equipping you to be an overcomer, equipping you, as it were, to be a son? Do you believe that? Now, as you believe, now belief is like the door opener to these things of God, to coming forth in fullness, in maturity. Belief is the door opener to it. I want you to look with me in Isaiah chapter 1. Isaiah chapter 1. Verses 19 and 20. If ye be willing and obedient, ye shall eat the good of the land. But if ye refuse and rebel, ye shall be devoured by the sword. For the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now, I want you first of all to notice those words, refuse and rebel. Now, in Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25, the word of God says there, see that ye refuse not him that speaketh. For if they escape not who refuse him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh. And I want you to notice, speaketh, present continuous, that continues to speak from heaven. Now God continues to speak from heaven. Remember, the children of Israel made a big mistake. When God began to speak to them, and his voice was so awesome and terrible, they told Moses, Moses, we can't bear to hear him speak anymore. So he wants you to go up to him and have him speak to you, and you come and tell us. Well, there was much sin in that. Don't be caught in the same problem of refusing to hear him who speaks from heaven. See that ye refuse not him that speaketh from heaven. And I want to tell you again, I believe that God is more ready to speak than we are aware. I really believe that. If you refuse and rebel. Now, you know what rebellion is classed with? 1 Samuel 15, verse 22. Witchcraft. Rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft, and stubbornness is as iniquity, idolatry. And one of the ways that rebellion is shown is in obeying the voice of the people instead of obeying the voice of God. And that That really was the excuse that he gave there. Let me just read it to you. I think it's in verse 24 of that same chapter in 1 Samuel 15. Yeah, verse 24. And Saul said unto Samuel, I have sinned, for I have transgressed the commandment of the Lord, because I feared the people and obeyed their voice. And the thing that God wants us to do is learning to obey His voice and be open to Him. Many times to choose to obey the voice of people instead of God is rebellion against God. And you know really what happened to Saul. That began to be his downfall until his life ended shortly after he went to the witch at Endor to seek direction, to seek divine direction. Because at that time he went to God and he couldn't hear from God anymore, because he had despised God all along. He was living in open rebellion to God. Folks, we can't continue on in God and be rebels. For rebellion is as the sin of witchcraft and stubbornness. You know, stubbornness, it's like you're an immovable object. Not even God can move you, it seems. You have your mind made up that you have arrived, or some such thing. But you know what God says? If we are willing and obedient. You see, particularly in the New Testament, when we talk about the will of God, there are two predominant thoughts. The first of all is in the Greek word boulomai, which is the plan of God, which really you or I, we can't alter it. But there is the dilemma, which is the desire of God towards us, His will. And that's something you and I can change. That's something you and I can affect. Because you see, when God saved us, He did not take away our wills. He did not make us robots. He left us so that we could learn to submit, to subject ourselves unto Him. Matthew 7:21, you know it. Not everyone that saith unto me, Lord, Lord, shall enter into the kingdom of heaven. But he that doeth the what? Doeth the will, the desires of the Father which is in heaven. And notice the operative word there is doing. Doing the desires of God to be alive. Even in the Lord's Prayer, Thy kingdom come, Thy will, Thy desire be done on earth as it is in heaven. Doing the desires of God. If you are willing, that is, if you have submitted your desires to God's desires. Don't try to give to God your will. He doesn't want it. But submit your will to Him daily. Lord, not what I wish to do. Not what I want, but what You want. What You want for me this day, that's exactly what I'm going to do, Lord. Nothing less, nothing else. Nothing more. With that, God is well pleased. And we spoke to you the other day about obedience. Obedience. You know, I heard somebody say something, and I believe it's true. One of the reasons adults, most adults, have so much problem obeying God is because their parents never really made them obey them. And if you don't see to it that your kids live a life of obedience to you now, they'll have a lot of problems obeying God. God help us to be obedient. To learn to do
as he says. Amen? In everything, to do as he says. And be willing, really, to be made a fool for God, too. Well, that's the way it would appear at times. Be made a fool for God. Okay? You know, I somehow sense within my heart, it's the same thing the Lord is doing within me. That the Lord, in bringing us closer to that which He desires for us, the Lord's going to challenge our hearts in new ways. You know, and as you have by faith received the Lord Jesus Christ, just so you're going to have to walk with Him by faith. Now, I heard somebody once describe faith in this manner. They were like in a vision. And they had fallen over a cliff. And they had just grabbed on to the last tree that was there. The last means to support themselves. Then God came to them and said, "Let go." Amen. The last thing you're holding on to for your security, for your insurance, for your protection, and then God says to you, "Let go." Therein is your faith tested and tried. Amen. But you see, that's the way that you grow in faith and in knowledge of the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. There you grow. Praise the Lord. Turn with me to Jude. Jude is a book that speaks very much about the way apostates went. Those who just fell away from the things that they knew. Let me read verses 10 through 13. "But these speak evil of those things which they know not." Do you know any people who do things as that today? "These speak evil of the things which they know not, but what they know naturally as brute beasts, in those things they corrupt themselves. Woe unto them, for they have gone in the way of Cain, and they ran greedily after the error of Balaam for reward, and perished in the gainsaying of Korah. These are spots in your feast of charity, when they feast with you, feeding themselves without fear. Clouds they are without water, carried about of winds. Trees whose fruit withereth without fruit." And the next thing it says is quite interesting. "Twice dead, plucked up by the roots. Raging waves of the seas, forming out their own shame. Wandering stars, to whom is reserved the blackness of darkness forever." Have you noticed the three things? They went in the way of Cain. They went in the error of Balaam. And in the gainsaying of Korah. You know what was Cain's sin? He wanted to offer to God the sacrifices of his own hands instead of that which God desired of him. Offer to God that which he desires, that which he requires of you. You see, folks, it's always easy when God makes a demand on your life that you say to God, "Well, God, I'm going to tithe more. God, I'm going to pray longer. All of that is good." Really, the thing God wants so much are not the things from you. He wants you. And the sacrifices of God are what? Are broken and a contrite heart that he will not despise. Give unto God those sacrifices. Give unto God the sacrifice of praise, which is the fruit of your lips. Give it unto him continually. Give unto God the sacrifice of joy. in the sacrifice of thanksgiving. Give all those unto God. That's what he desires of you. Give those unto him. And you see, the thing with Cain was that even after he had sinned, there was a sin offering lying at his door, but he didn't make use of it. Instead, he chose to contend with God instead of making use of the sacrifice. And men today are still walking in the way of Cain. Folks, if God shows you you're wrong, run quickly and make it right. If you believe possibly you're wrong, make it right. God's well pleased with that. That's an attitude of heart that I think he desires and he loves. I think that's the right attitude of spirit. They also went in the era of Balaam. Now, Brother Balaam had a problem. He wanted God to change his mind. Balaam said, God, can I go curse those people? God said, no. Balaam went back to Balak. Balak offered him some money. So Balaam said, well, I'll go back to God and see what God has to say this time. How many of you know God can't be bribed with money? But he went back to try to get God to change his mind. Do you know that ultimately God told him, go on with Balak? He said, I'm not going to give you permission to curse the children of Israel, but go on with Balak. And remember, it was only his donkey that saved him from his death. Now, what am I bringing out here to you? Now, many times we as God's people can so desire to do something that it may seem even as though we get permission from God to do it. And that's what I'm saying, permission. Notice with me this verse in Psalm 106. Psalm 106, verse 15. God says of the children of Israel that he gave them their request. But you notice what happened? He sent leanness to their soul. God had continuing problems with the children of Israel asking for meat. God said, I'll give you meat till it comes out of your nostrils. God continually had to be after them. Balaam loved the wages of unrighteousness and loved to go in that pattern, in that plan. When God says something, do it. Just be ready to act. If God says jump, jump. Do it. God says, go, go. You know, see, there has been much teaching that if you want something and you believe hard enough, you will get it. And I agree, you may get it, but you may get the consequences that come with it too. For God will give you the desire of your heart. But the result along with it is going to be a spiritual leanness, a barrenness in your spirit, because you wanted your own desires, your own will, and not what God wanted. So go ahead if you want and say, God, this is what I want, this is what I'm going to get. You may regret it after you've gotten it. And that's just one of the things on the road to apostasy, falling away from God. The error of Balaam. You know, when Brother Ferris was talking this morning, he was mentioning a portion from Matthew where Jesus said, that's not the way it was, folks. But Moses just did it because of the conditions of your heart. I don't want God to have to do any such thing just because of the condition, the rebellion of my heart. No, I don't want that. I want to go God's way instead of God seeking to come my way. You see, the Bible makes no provision for the works of the flesh. It doesn't. God, let me say this. Do you know we don't ever have to sin? Amen? Some of you are not sure if you should say amen. Huh? No, you don't ever have to sin. There is never a single temptation that is too strong for you. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 13. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful. Praise God. Who will with every temptation also make a way of escape? Now, first of all, God will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation make a way of escape, that ye may be able to bear it. And I tell you that to remind you that you don't ever have to fail God. You don't ever have to sin. For God has made a way of escape that you can bear that thing without yielding to sin. Now, the temptation is not sin. Yielding to it is sin. And God has already provided a way of escape, a victorious way. Now, we don't teach sinless perfection. So don't go out and think that's what we're talking about. Because sinless perfection teaches that you get to the holy point where you're never ever tempted to sin anymore. We teach, though, that it's possible to live in victory above sin daily. And folks, if you fail God, be as Paul. I'm knocked down, but I'm not knocked out. So if I'm knocked down, I'm going to get up and stand on my feet again by his strengthening power. And I'm going to go on again. Because I'll tell you, this is one thing that the enemy puts in people's way, a discouragement. I fail God, I'm no good. I'm not worth a single thing. Just as well I give up. And you yield to that, and you're in trouble. And the devil will tell you, what's the use of praying? God's not going to hear you anymore. You're good for nothing. Tell him that he's a liar. That's what he's speaking to you, lying. Particularly when you feel like that, you need to pray. You need to talk to God. Because therein lies a victory. One of the enemy's biggest tools he's going to try to use on you is discouragement. Discouragement. But be encouraged, because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. Amen? Amen. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The third area was those who went after the gainsaying of Korah. And remember what Korah did? Let me just turn to Numbers 16. And now Korah took up and led a band of rebels against Moses. He said, now listen, Moses, you think that you and Aaron are better than all of us. You think you're the only one who have the Lord's direction. You lift yourself up above the whole congregation. Don't you know the whole congregation is holy too? That's what it says in verse 3. Says you take too much upon yourselves, seeing all the congregation are holy, every one of them, and the Lord is among them. Wherefore then lift ye up yourselves above the congregation of the Lord? We just sought to come against Moses and the leadership that God had given Moses and in the congregation there. You know, I praise God that we live in the day of grace. Because in that particular time, Moses said, all right, we'll put it to the test. We'll come outside tomorrow. You bring your family, I'm going to bring mine. And we'll ask the Lord to show which one of us is right. You know what happened? The earth opened up and swallowed up Korah and his family. This is another sign, people, of the times that we're in, the apostasy of the times that we're in. A rebellious people who always choose to go their own way and do their own thing. And it's a definite sin of our times. Now, people who refuse to come under any authority anywhere. You see, the charismatic movement was a thing that was started of God. But one of the things it did, one of the things that resulted from it that I don't think necessarily is from God, it created a whole lot of wandering sheep. A whole lot of lone stars, lone rangers, who hear directly from God, who don't need another man anywhere because they've got a hotline to heaven. They're sufficiently spiritual to take on the whole world themselves. They don't need anyone else. And there are hundreds, thousands, in that category. It saddens my heart to see many of these people who for years have been searching for fellowship to become a part of, but can't find one because there's something wrong with every group. Well, folks, can I tell you God has made that so? But I tell you, God has made it so that there is something wrong with every group. And when you go into that group, there'll be more wrong with it too. Amen. Amen. And I had to say to one brother, I said, what made you think that you are better than all God's people? So that all of them are wrong and you are right. You see, God's people need to become planted and rooted somewhere. I'll tell you, the charismatic Lone Rangers, they're growing in knowledge, head knowledge, but they're not really growing in spirit. They could spout out to you all that this person teaches, that person teaches, all the great end time teachings. They could spout it all out to you. But insofar as it becoming a part of them, a part of their lifestyle, it's not. You know why? It's because there's a seed of rebellion within them that God has to stamp out. So they could once again become submissive to God's people. And you see, these folks totally disregard the word of God that speaks about not forsaken the assembling of yourselves together. And I believe if it takes someone 4 years and they still can't find a fellowship, the problem is not the fellowship. They are the problem. They're the problem. And God needs to do something within them. You see a lot of it, and I pray for people that God would make their bed short and their coverings narrow. Amen. Amen. That God will put holy grief upon them. Now, some of these people come to me for counseling a lot of times. I tell them, I say, go find your pastor and let him counsel you. Well, we don't have one. I say, well, you need to have one. That's why you're having all the problems you're having. Really? That's why you're having all the problems you're having. People, it is of God that we become a submitted part of some fellowship that's flowing in the things of God. Now, I'm not talking about a lot of the heavy-handed stuff that's going on where someone has to tell me what color car I should buy and, well, how much I should pay for it or what color house I should live in and what side of the street it should face. I'm not talking about that. That's a different subject. and that's not necessarily of God. But I'm talking about that which this book, the Word of God, speaks about. And let us realize that the enemy is just working to destroy. You know, every time God sets about a work, the enemy seeks to find some way to turn sour that which God intended to be good. And pray very much for the people of God, the charismatics particularly, who are running hither, thither, and yon to every single teaching that comes into town. Now, I praise God for many of these itinerant teachers. I praise God for them. They've done a great service to the body of Christ. But even we ourselves now, you know, if someone wants to come to us, the first thing we find out is where they're from, what group they're a part of. And if they're just wandering about by themselves, not being a part of any group anywhere, if we don't know them and their background, we don't want them. Because they could cause more havoc. We had an interesting situation. We were in a meeting of elders from our area, and there was one man who would come in and who was just wreaking havoc among the sheep. And when some of the brothers confronted him, he came out in the midst of us and rebuked us all. Who are we to touch the Lord's anointed? Who are we to tell him that he was wrong? And he stormed out. His very spirit was wrong. That's just a seed of apostasy that's loosed in the world today. And let me just read to you the end of the book of Jude. From verse 20. But ye, beloved, building up yourselves in the most holy faith, praying always in the Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of the Lord Jesus Christ, and of some having compassion, making a difference. Others say with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garments spotted by the flesh. And verse 24 is my prayer for you, even in the new year. That's all right if you want to make a new year's resolution, Lord. But in this year, I'm going to live for you as I've never lived for you before. This year I'm going to grow up in you at a rate I have not grown before. I think such resolutions God's well pleased with. But this is my prayer for you. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling. Now, do you know that? That you are kept? What are you kept by? Okay, speak of Kevin. I give it to you. It's in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. You see, salvation, the whole thing. And from the time you saved, you allow God, you'll be kept by his power until that salvation catches a hold of you, spirit, soul, and body. Amen. So now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. Now it blows my mind to think that we could be presented before God in this manner, faultless. Now it's one thing to be blameless, but it's another thing to be faultless. Your child comes home from school the first day and gives you those educated scribbles and says, that's the alphabet. Now, they are not faultless. but neither are they blameless. You see, you can't blame the child for that. That's the best of his ability.
But if he comes back 1 year and still has that, then there's a big problem. God just wants to present us faultless. And the Lord Jesus wants to do it with exceeding joy. I believe, you know, the Word of God says when Jesus comes back, he'll be admired in the saints. In other words, you know, I believe even now that men and women can begin to look within us, to look at us, and see the Lord Jesus. Amen. You are the epistles of God. You are manifestly declared to be the epistles, the letter of God to this world. Some people never ever crack the pages of a Bible, but they look at you. Some of you women who have unsaved husbands, you are their Bible. You're the only Bible that they read, and the Word of God says that even as they read that your conversation, your manner of life, they, without the Word, without ever looking in this book, will be won by your manner of life. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen. Amen. And I say amen too. Praise the Lord. Remember, you're coming up here to say something? You can come and say it now.
Wasn't that rich teaching?
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.